Yeah. All right. Good morning, everybody. My name is Anthony, for those of you who don't know me. That was Lonzel's first time. Isn't it great to see Lonzel up here? Yeah, Lonzel. So excited. Well, we are so excited to continue this series. Like I said, my name is Anthony, for those of you who don't know me. Some of you have been asking, where's Pastor Chris? I don't know if I should be offended, but I will tell you, he was in a missions trip in Guatemala. He is now currently with some of the elders in training, building into them and doing a leadership with them. And so he is okay. He sends his love, and he sent me. We'll see what happens. All right. But we're very, very excited to be able to continue this series called Remix. And if this is your first time with us, I just want to echo what Lonzel said. We do hope you make yourself feel right at home and that you do feel welcome. Why do we call it Remix? Great question. Remix, what is a remix of a song? A remix is not a new song. It is taking something and giving it a new look, giving it a fresh beat. And that's what we've been doing with this thing called the church, right? Not necessarily just Hoboken Grace as a church, but this thing that Jesus Christ started called the church. What was it meant to be? What was it supposed to be? And we've been going back to our core values, these fundamentals about what it means to be a church and why we started this thing called Hoboken Grace, and then ultimately looking back on what Jesus Christ meant the church to be all along. And our mission here at Hoboken Grace, it's something we say every single week, but it's important to remind ourselves of it, is to help people find their way back to God. And we didn't just get it because it sounds pretty, we got it because it is the ultimate overarching mission of God, which is to help people find their way back to Him, to seek and save the lost. And so we pulled it from this verse in Acts 17:27, that says His purpose was for the nations to seek after God and perhaps feel their way toward Him and find Him, though He is not far from any one of us. And what better way to look at the beginning of this thing called the church than by looking at the book of Acts. The book of Acts is the kind of second part to the book of Luke. Luke wrote it. So Luke writes part one, the book of Luke, and he also writes part two, the book of Acts. The book of Luke chronicles the life of Jesus, and the book of Acts chronicles the life of the early church. Once Jesus has already gone through, you know, the book starts, the account in Acts starts with Jesus, you know, giving his disciples the Great Commission. This is already after the crucifixion, after the resurrection. And then he ascends and he gives us this mission. And this mission begins with a thing called the church. And this thing was exciting. This thing was incredible. This thing changed the world. And it still continues to change the world today. But somewhere along the line, we lost ourselves a little bit. It was no longer the world-changing thing to come to a church. Well, first and foremost, we took the name church to think of as a building and think of it as a location, which was never meant to be from the beginning. The church was and has always meant the people of God, those who have walked into this relationship with Jesus Christ. And so even though we call this a church, we're going back to find out what went wrong. Because when we look at churches today, we don't think of things like exciting and fun and life-changing. And that's a problem. And there are those of you who are here today who are here for the first time, and maybe you were a little tentative in walking in, maybe you're a little nervous walking in for the first time. You weren't really sure what they're going to make us do, what they're going to make us say, and all this crazy stuff, but you came anyway. And those of you who have been part of our family for a while and continue to engage God here, we say welcome back. We love being on this mission and this journey with you. But if we're honest, we as the universal church haven't always gotten things right. I remember when I used to travel a lot for my old job before I came into full-time here at Hoboken Grace, I used to travel a lot. One of the things I used to love to do is if I found myself in a particular city on a Sunday, I would find a kind of local church and just, you know, see what was happening, see what the vibe was. My first experience this one time was out in Scotland, actually. I was in Edinburgh, and I was there on a Sunday, and I found this cute little church that was off the beaten path, and I was like, I'm going to go there on Sunday. And the service started at 9, and I kind of got lost on my way back over there, so I showed up a little after 9, and so I expected, you know, much like many of you, just kind of sneak in the back, not get noticed, we'll be good. But I opened up the door about 9:05, and to my surprise, I came face to face with later who I found out to be the pastor. And he's like, hello. And I was like, hello. And he's like, can I help you? He was Scottish. And I was like, yeah, I'm here. He's like, are you lost? And I was like, nope. He's like, this is a church. I was like, yep. He's like, you looking for the restaurant next door? And I was like, no, I'm looking for church. He's like, oh, this one? I was like, what is this? I felt a little like Julia Roberts in Pretty Woman in the dress store. I was like, I have money. I'm here. But finally, he was like, oh, we're so glad somebody showed up. And so he came in and introduced me to the 7 people that were there. And he proceeded to give the sermon. And he referenced me like 4 times throughout the whole thing. He's like, we have somebody from New York. And I was like, I'm not coming back. So it didn't. I hope they're well. And then the next time I went, I was actually traveling here in the States. I was in Bloomington, Indiana, which is a lovely town. Yeah, woo! Loved it. So does that person. And I found this one church a little bit larger, right? And I came in a little bit earlier. I learned my lesson, and I saw what was an empty row, and I sat down, and this guy came up and tapped me on the shoulder, and he said, excuse me, and I thought he was just going to be welcoming me. I said, hello, and he goes, you're in my seat. And I said, oh, and I looked for like a coat or a purse or a jacket or something, and I said, oh, I'm sorry. He's like, oh, yeah, my family and I, we always sit here. And I was like, okay. So I moved down a couple of seats, and he's like, oh, no, we have those too. I was like, okay. So I got up and I walked to the other end of the auditorium. I was like, this guy clearly doesn't have the whole auditorium reserved. And so I go to the other side and I asked this gentleman, I said, is there anyone sitting here? And he goes, not yet. And I said, oh, that's cute. And then I sat down and he goes, I meant not yet. The family that normally sits there is not here yet. And I said, what is happening? Where can I sit? And he's like, oh, we have a section for guests. I was like, oh. So I walked towards the section, past the section, out the side door. Which apparently I wasn't supposed to do anyway, because that was an employee entrance and somebody made sure to tell me. Didn't come back to that church either. I wish them well. So why do I tell this story? I tell these stories because, I really hope that wasn't your experience here today. If this was your first time here, or when this was your first time here, I really hope that's not your experience. But those are extreme examples. But I think if we're honest, a lot of us who hadn't been here for the first time or were worried, like, what's it going to be like? Is it going to be like that? Are they going to have assigned seats? Are they going to know me? Are they going to expect me? And I think there's a tension there, right? There's a tension because all of us, we have our own reasons of why we came through these doors in the first place, right? Where we've been engaged, you know, somebody invited us, but or you know what? We've been longing for that connection. We're looking for God, or we're looking for meaning, for purpose, for friends, for family, for connection. We're looking for something, and whatever brings to you, whatever the goings on are in our lives, God brings you here for a reason. And we say it every Sunday that we want you to make yourself right at home, and we do because, as we're exploring the early church and what this thing called the church was meant to be, it was never meant to be a place where people couldn't go. It was never meant to be a place where people couldn't learn and people couldn't connect and people couldn't grow with God and with one another. And yet so many churches here today, so many people of the church here today, we shut our doors to those people who are different from us or because we're just too busy looking inward at ourselves. And ultimately, that's not what this church, what Jesus Christ started, this thing called the church, was meant to be. I mean, the church was never supposed to be so self-absorbed that they missed the people who were walking by, the people who are dying to connect with someone, the people who are longing for connection, who are longing to make a difference, who are longing to live a life of significance. And there's people right here right now, either in person or watching online, that are experiencing those same types of things. Some of you are here for the first time and you're experiencing that longing. Some of you have been here for years and you found an incredible group of friends and some that you call like family. And then there are some of you that are somewhere in between. Some of you are just here, right? You're not really sure why. You just come. Or you were forced or whatever. But you're here and you're not gung-ho about it. You're just, this is what we do on Sundays. And that even isn't what the church was supposed to be. That isn't even what the church was founded on either. See, the early church, one of the things that separated them is that they looked forward to being there. They were risking their lives. They were risking their social status. Some were risking their families in order to be them. It was a joy for them to go. Like I said, we're looking at the book of Acts at the beginning of the church. Look at what it says in Acts 2, 46 and 47. It says, every day those are the new believers, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Well, first and foremost, there's that. They went every single day, but they went every single day for worship and instruction. Right? They submitted, the verse right before this says, they submitted themselves to the apostles' teaching. So the apostles, those who had witnessed the resurrected Christ, were coming and teaching them about what Jesus Christ had done, and they were looking at the scriptures. Now, the scriptures aren't the scriptures that we see today, right? The New Testament was currently being written. It hadn't been written yet, certainly hadn't been published. So when they were submitting to the instruction of the apostles, and the apostles were also teaching from the scriptures, they were teaching from the Jewish scriptures, right? And they were saying, look, this is what God was doing, and this is what Jesus Christ came to fulfill. And I love it that it says that they would break bread, right? So that means that they would have a meal, right, in their homes, and they would eat together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. There was this attractiveness about the early church, about being believers. There was something that these people that were going with joy and they were going with glad and sincere hearts. I mean, I've seen some of you come today before your coffee, and I wouldn't necessarily say you came with joy or being glad and sincere in the process. But isn't it interesting that they met together, right, in the temple courts, and they broke bread in their homes? So they started out large, and they grew small in the process. Essentially, that's what we have here when we have dinner groups. That's essentially what we have when we have our impact teams, right? We come together, and then we go into our groups, or we go into our teams, and we continue this atmosphere. And this is why it was so appealing. There was this family-like atmosphere that was so foreign in this day and age. People just didn't do that. And let's be honest, like, yeah, we have meals with our family and we hang out with our family, but we don't really like being with people we don't know. You know those restaurants that are like, we're going to seat you with other people that you don't know, and you're like, I hate this place already. Or we will do anything to not be next to somebody, right? Like, I was on the bus earlier this week into the city, and it amazed me how we will sit in that one seat that has the tire up there, and we'll sit in the fetal position before we sit next to anyone else. We will do it. I don't care. This is so uncomfortable for me. I'm in a suit. I'm in a dress. I'm not in a dress. I was in a suit. But I don't care. I'm not sitting next to anybody. But even if that's us on the outside, we can't deny that we have this desire for connection, for real community, to be a part of a family. And that's what they wanted so bad. Those who were on the outside were seeing this joy and this gladness and this sincerity. And they're going, what is happening? And the believers, you know, the believers were just taking what Jesus had told them to do and putting it into practice. This whole series, we've been looking at the Great Commission, right? This great mission that Jesus Christ has given to his believers. He said, all right, you know, I've gone to the cross, I've died, I've resurrected. Now this is your mission. Go tell others about me, what's happening, putting these new practices into place and making others. This is what the Great Commission says, right? They're just doing what Jesus said. Matthew 28:18-20. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So this was his command, to go and make disciples. Now, what is a disciple? A disciple is someone who follows someone else. He's saying at the core, this is who you are. If you forget everything else, this is what I want you to do. Make followers of me. And the early church, in the book of Acts, right, they were doing this the best way that they knew how, by following Jesus' example. Coming together, learning, trying to figure out what Jesus was calling them to do. Okay, we've walked in this relationship. Now we want to become more and more like him. And then they continued to do that throughout their week, continuing to apply what they had heard after they had gathered in the temple courts and meeting with one another and serving with one another and being with one another. See, that's one side to the invitation, right? When you look at the Great Commission, there's actually two sides. One is this invite into enter into this relationship with Jesus. When we put our faith and we put our trust in him, we publicly declare this. One of the things we're celebrating today is we're celebrating baptisms, right? We're celebrating people who have walked into this relationship with Jesus, right? The other side of it, the other side of the coin, the other part is that there is a growth now, growth in obeying everything that Jesus calls us to do. So there's this walking, this initial invitation to walk into this relationship, and he's like, now it's time to grow in our relationship and understanding of what Jesus is calling us to do. That's the equation. When we walk into this relationship with him, then we try to become more and more like him. Well, why? I mean, people wanted to be around him, right? People liked him. People loved to be around Jesus, right? He lived this perfect life, and we who know we can't be perfect, yet we see and we strive and we want to be like the one who saved us. And they loved to be around Jesus, and people flocked to Jesus, and the early church caught on to this and say, okay. We've walked into this relationship with him, and our goal of becoming more and more like him, we need to take what he's taught us and put it into practice. They were called then to bring more people into the family. He's like, listen, we got this party happening. We got more people. We're throwing a big party here. It's this sense that's actually been prevalent throughout scriptures. It's not just after Jesus' ministry that you find that God was big on this word multiplication, right? So he's calling us to go and make disciples. He's calling us to multiply. You see this throughout scriptures, even through the Jewish scriptures. You see God calling his people to multiply. You see when we walk into this relationship with Jesus, that Jesus takes this concept that people would have been very familiar of, and he says, you need to go and multiply. You need to welcome other people into this family. And this vision goes beyond the people that are just here inside these walls, these people that are just already here. It involves reaching out, right? His plan of redemption isn't completely satisfied by those who are already inside. In fact, the church that's inwardly focused is actually an unhealthy church. Think of it in terms of a standing body of water, right? If it's just sitting there, there's nothing coming in, there's nothing going out, right? There's nothing flowing in. It's just sitting there. It's stagnant, right? All of a sudden, things start to form on there. Disease, malaria, right? Mosquitoes. It becomes unhealthy. And if you think of a church that just sits there and nothing's coming in and nothing's going out and we're just happy being our own selves, it's actually becoming a dangerous church with little mosquitoes everywhere, little bloodsuckers everywhere, right? That's what he's saying. He's like, it's unhealthy to just think of in selves. They don't care about it. Those stagnant, those are sitting there, those that aren't growing, those that aren't doing anything, they're actually dangerous for this mission. I mean, think about it. Even if you've never experienced that in a church setting, maybe you've experienced it, you know, in work, right? There's just nothing's going to change, and it's just, this is the way things are, and it's just it's hard to be there. You certainly don't want to come. You certainly don't want to invite people to be there. And in fact, when you look at this, what the scriptures meant a church to be, right? The church that fails to look beyond their walls wasn't even a church at all. And so when you look at the core mission, right, to help people find their way back to God, we talked about this a couple weeks ago. Luke 19:10 is at the core of why Jesus came, right? The Son of Man, Jesus, the Son of Man, came to seek and save the lost. The whole purpose of his mission, the whole purpose of God, was for Jesus Christ to come and to seek and save the lost. And as followers, we've been talking about this. We must do the same. Jesus puts it this way in Matthew 5. He says, You, this is talking about his believers, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. He's saying, listen, our focus is not inward, it's outward. Look at a light. What does a light do? A light shines outward. And he's saying, you're not going to cover that light with a bowl, right? Now, obviously, this wasn't a time they had electricity, so it was likely a light was a flame, right? He's saying it lights the whole house. You put a bowl over it, that thing's going to go out. He's saying you don't want to put that flame under a bed. Why? Because you're not going to have a bed in the morning. It's going to have caught on fire. You're not going to do that. He uses this beautiful picture of a city on a hilltop, right? You're the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden, right? He's talking about the city of Jerusalem at this particular time, but if you think about it, right, you see a city. How do you see a city? How do you see a large group of people? Well, nowadays, you see lights on everywhere, right? Even when you see those kind of, you know, the satellite pictures, you can kind of tell where New York is. You tell where the big populations are, right, because of the lights that are there. And he's saying the same thing happens in the city of Jerusalem, right? This center, this epicenter of culture, this epicenter of where the temple was, where people came from all over to find hope, to find care, to find purpose, right? And he's saying these lights are not just lights in the house. He said, these lights are in you. And when does that light shine brighter? When we come together. When you have a bunch of those lights in the same place, working in unity towards the same mission. That is what Jesus is calling us to do. He's saying, yeah, your light shines. Your light shines bright when you're over here by yourself. But think of how much brighter it's going to shine when we're doing this together. That's what's bringing people in. They see that city and they go, oh, look, that's where I can go. These people who've been traveling for days on end, they see that city, and it's a city of hope. It's a city of renewal. It's a city of strength. It's a place where I can go and receive care. It's ultimately what we as the church should be. People should be passing by. People should be seeing us out in the community, and our lights should be coming together to be so bright. They should be like, what is going on in there? And that's what he's calling us to do. He's calling us here. Listen, as a church, as the body that has been placed in this city, in your community, right, that we have to be that light for the people that are around us. We are his hope. We are his love. We let that light shine to the world around us. And we want people to experience that. We want people to be a part of this family. But in order to do that, we got to make room. Right? We want more people to come in, and we want people to come all over. I told you that story, both of those stories earlier about those churches that, for a couple of reasons. But number one is that they weren't expecting me. They both had in common is that they didn't make enough room. One of them just wasn't expecting me at all, and one of them just wasn't expecting new people. This is the idea of there's people out there who are hurting. There's people out there who are scared. There's people out there who don't know who to turn to. And God has softened their heart enough to be able to come in through these doors. And we have to ask ourselves, are we ready for them? And that's what being the church, welcoming them with open arms and saying, hey, welcome to the family. And then he says, once you are welcomed into the family, it's time to bring others along with you. Which is, we believe this so strongly, this is actually our fourth core value here at Hoboken Grace, this core value of multiplication, right? We say it like this: multiplication, from the moment we are brought into God's family, we are called to multiply. We take what we've experienced, however great or small, and transfer that to another. Discipleship starts at salvation. Notice that he says this: the moment we are brought into God's family. And so many of us, over the last few weeks, we've been going, okay, all right, I get it. I'm receiving more of it. I'm receiving more of it. I understand what you're trying to tell me to do. I'm just, I don't think that's it yet. I don't know what I'm supposed to do in order to reach people, but hopefully one of these weeks I'll hear it. He's telling you what to do. Many of you can't multiply because you think you don't know enough. And what he's saying here is that the moment you walk into this relationship with me, you have everything you need to know to invite people to the party. You have everything you need to know to welcome somebody back into the family. Jesus is like, welcome to the family. Who else could you bring along with you? We use this when we talk in terms of teams, right? We use the phrase that our greatest experience of God's love is not when we receive more and more of it, it's when we ultimately give it away. As the care pastor here at Hoboken Grace, I tend to be able to walk with people through some extremely difficult circumstances in their life. And the care team and I, we will sit and we will talk and we always kind of decompress over what are the conversations that we are happening. And you know, it's so interesting. Whenever I end up, you know, in a funeral or end up talking to the family after a funeral, we always see the value of human life is never measured by how much they knew or how much they had. The value of the human life was always measured by how much was given away, of how much they gave, you know, they of themselves imparted onto others. And that, at the core, is this word discipleship. It comes from the Greek word to learn and also to put into practice. So we hear and then we do. We hear and then we do. We hear the message and then we do. We hear what the scriptures are calling us to do and then we do it. That's the discipleship process. We're big on community here at Hoboken Grace and we love being a part of this community. And once we find that community and once we find that connection, especially in a dinner group or especially on a team, we wrestle a little bit with this process of multiplication. It's true. Some of you are here today and you're like, I'm all about making more space. I can scoot over a little bit, right? I see some empty chairs around there. I don't mind sitting next to somebody over here, right? I'm feeling good about this. But when we come into you and your dinner group leader or your team leader comes in and says, okay, it's time to multiply, and you're like, No, I love these people. I remember one time I came into one of my men's groups and I was like, all right, we got to multiply. We're getting too big. We got to create space for more people to come in. And one of them was like, no, we're never going to see each other. I'm like, we meet for 1 hour a week. Trust me, there are other hours that we could get together. But we do this in order to bring people in to the family. And here's the real reason, guys. The real reason that you were able to get connected is because somebody valued multiplication. The reason that you were able to get into the group, the reason that you were able brought into this family, the reason that you were able to go into this relationship with Jesus Christ is because someone valued multiplication. And said, we want to create space for you. We want to bring people in the family. In fact, this is the entire story of what Jesus Christ has done for you. This is at the core of what he's done. See, the reason that you are part of God's family is because Jesus valued multiplication. Look at what it says at the cross, all right? The moment that Jesus cries out on the cross, he's been beaten, he's been whipped, the crown of thorns has been put on him, he has been nailed to the cross. And this is what it says. From noon until 3 p.m, darkness came over all the land. And about 3 p.m, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? The New Living Translation says, why have you abandoned me? Jesus didn't cry out when they were beating him. Jesus didn't cry out when they put the crown of thorns on him. He didn't even cry out when they put him on the cross. He cried out the moment he lost the connection with the Father. the most painful part was that he knew what had to be done, that he was going to be alone. And yet he willingly sacrificed that connection to the Father in order for us to be able to be brought into that family. Jesus willingly sacrificed the connection he had with the Father to multiply, for you to be a part of that family. Jesus decided to endure that separation so that you and I can be connected. And if we're going to create this community of people where we don't just sit here and are inwardly focused and become stagnant and quite frankly, when we become dangerous, we must value this principle of multiplication. It's a must. And if we're going to become more and more like Jesus, right, we talk about this in terms of our leaders, and we talk about this in terms of our groups, that we've just got to impart what we come. We've got to multiply our leaders. We've got to multiply our team members, not because we need to, you know, we need team members. This isn't a sinking ship type of a thing. No, it's because we want to create the space for those who are on the outside who want to get connected, who want to be a part of a family, who want to know that Jesus came for them, that Jesus sacrificed the connection to the Father so that they can be brought into the family. One of the reasons we've been talking about Team Link so much is not because, you know, well, we're dying for team members. No, we realize that in the fall, in September, when people come back from vacations and whatnot, that people are going to come back here. And we want to create a space for them to know that they're welcome, to know that they are loved, to know that they are a part of this family. Whether you've walked into this relationship with Jesus or not, this mission is for you as well. And he's calling us to that. And so today at 4:00, if you're still sitting on the sideline, now it's time to get on the field. Open up your phone right now, sign up for Team Link. You're here already, you got nothing to do. Go have brunch, come back at 4:00. Oh, I don't have anybody to watch the kid. We got childcare. What's your next excuse? Nothing. Come. All of the teams are going to be here. They're going to be represented. You're not going to have to sign your life over. You're just going to learn, and then hopefully you'll get that nudge of what God is calling you to move into and say, you know what? This is how I want you to let your light shine. On this team, to make that light shine brighter. In this group, to make that light shine brighter, so that when somebody passes by, they go, what's going on? And they walk into this family, and we have room for them. We welcome them up to open R because we value the idea of multiplication. And maybe, just maybe, we can be the church that God has desired and called us to be from the beginning, and that we can go back to being that church that we come with in joy and glad and sincere hearts, and people come in and each day walk into a relationship with him. That's the church we desire to be, because he's the one that created it, and it's much better than any church we think we should be. Will you pray with me? Father, wow, what an incredible principle that you're teaching us of bringing people back to you through living that out. And Father, I know that there are different individuals that are wrestling with different things here today. Number one, there are those who haven't walked into this relationship with you. And my prayer for them is that they will know that you can and want to use them too. My prayer is secondly for those believers that are here today who have not yet accepted that invitation to jump on this mission. What are you waiting for? We're here to bring you into open arms. We want to create the space for you. You're already part of this family. Let's welcome more people to it. The other one are those that are here today that are doing such an incredible job of living out this mission. Those who are part of a team, those who are part of a group, those who understand what it means to come together on Sundays, to worship, to learn from you, and then throughout the week they're putting it into practice. I thank you so much for them and for their heart. Father, we celebrate you for all of these people here today that are here because you brought them here. Father, we thank you. None of this would be possible without Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.